It's Sunday, March 30th, and this is the 20th episode of this season of Not Half Bad, the podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball. I'm Norman, one of your hosts with Rumble in the Garden.
And I'm Dave on the Banks, the Rutgers blog, your other host.
You can tweet at us at ecoastbias for me. What are you? Dave underscore White, right?
Dave underscore White.
Dave underscore White for Dave. And if you just want the Rumble's complete feed, you can tweet at RumbleSBN, and you'll get all of our writers. So here we are. It's March 30th. It's the off season for most basketball teams, even though there are still two more Elite Eight games to play as we're recording this, and the Final Four is still coming.
But basketball's basically over.
Basketball's basically over. Baseball is starting up soon. The weather is getting pleasant. There's sunlight out my window right now.
We're saturated here, but
saturated that's all right. with clouds.
Water.
You're damp. You're kind of moist.
Yeah.
I love that everybody hates the word moist. It's funny.
We are.
It's pretty much the off season. We've taken a good week off to process and decompress. But I think for both teams, there've been a lot of drama, a lot of stuff in the news, a lot of changes as programs adjust to their coaches and to the feelings of the players.
Yeah, it's been really weird. Kind of, I remember last year, everybody knows, was the Mike Rice stuff, which broke a year ago this week. But there was a lull. There was about a 3-week lull of no news, and even an article about Rice out there recruiting and trying to fill some holes. But there wasn't much, and then clearly the Rice stuff blew up, and that took the better part of the next 6 weeks. But it feels like this offseason for Eddie Jordan and company has really kind of gotten off to, we're going to make some quick, fast changes.
And it's better than letting things linger, especially if kids need to find new places to play, and if coaches need to find new coaches. You need to be kind of set up by the time the Final Four weekend comes along. That's where so much of the deal making goes down in college basketball, as many of you probably know.
Yeah, I wonder. Last week we talked, I think Rutgers had been knocked out of the tournament, got blown out by Louisville. I don't remember if we covered it in the blog, but in the podcast, but the next day, David Cox was fired, or 2 days later, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He was let go. That was Eddie Jordan's number one assistant, who was a holdover from the Mike Rice era. And there were some rumors that Jaron Collins?
Yeah, Jaron.
Jaron Collins was going to take the position. We did talk about this. But that seemed to not happen. And there's been no word on a new assistant yet. So I wonder if Jordan is waiting and going to kind of do the Final Four thing and see who's around and who's looking.
Sure. I mean, I think that one of the ways that Jim Whitesell came to St. John's is because a couple of years ago, I think after he'd been fired, he connected with Steve Lavin at the Final Four. And they discussed, basketball and such. And Lavin knew, oh, this is a guy that I might want to hire in the near future. And I think there's definitely some of that. And sometimes, you always hear about how there are coaches who just kind of hang out in the lobby, and kind of just do the networking thing. Just, touch base with the guys that they know, try to meet some guys that they don't, maybe jockey for some positions that seem that they might be open. And I think for assistant coaches, that's such an important and crucial part of the year, figuring out who you're going to be working with.
Yeah, I agree. And it looks like Jordan's going to kind of take his time with this hire. He promoted the director of basketball operations into not an assistant coach role, but guess just a
recruiting level role.
Recruiting role.
So technically he's an assistant coach, and he can go out and observe players and not be dinged by the NCAA.
Right. So it looks like Jordan is taking his time, but is kind of, he knows he has to recruit. If you didn't see, if you're a Rutgers fan and you missed the news, Eddie Jordan kind of had his own red wedding the past week. Three players, Jerome Seegers is the big name, Craig Brown and Devon Campbell all decided they were going to transfer. Mm-hmm. All are rising juniors, about to be seniors, so they only have a year of eligibility left.
Wow.
But
why don't you go find somewhere else to play?
Yeah.
Most logical players understand that if you only have a year left, it's weird to transfer somewhere and only get a year, unless you're going to transfer somewhere, get a year, and do it immediately, like Anthony Lee of, of Temple.
Right.
Who, and, by the way, is transferring to Ohio State.
Yeah, he's going to be a Big Ten player. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a force. He was good at Temple.
He's very good.
Yeah. So, Jordan's kind of cleared the deck. He has four recruits either committed or signed, JUCO and Bishop Daniels, and three high school seniors in Mike Williams, Dwayne Foreman, and Ibrahim Diallo. And he's got three open scholarships. What's weird is everybody was pointing towards the 2015 class. We've talked about Isaiah Briscoe here and just the fact that that's a loaded class. But with three about to be seniors transferring out, Jordan basically freed up three scholarships a year early that he could use not on the 2015 class.
Mm-hmm.
He's still got two seniors, Mac and Jack. Mac and Jack on the team. So there'll definitely be at least two scholarships open next year. But people were thinking that was going to be Jordan trying to land a monster class, much like Mike Rice did when he recruited Miles Mack and Kadeem Jack and all those players. So I don't know. I'll just address it now. We have a not half bad listener question from the Twitter Jim, who goes by at Bronk Knight, B-R-O-N-C, Knight, like, you know.
Like Knights Bronco of Knight, eat. Like the Knights of the Broncos?
Yeah, I guess it's a Broncos.
Like Peyton Manning, like After Dark?
No, not After Dark. More like Peyton Manning with a jousting stick.
Ah, okay. I get it. Yeah. Eye to eye. Eye to eye. I'm doing the, see you eye to eye thing
right now. Gotcha.
Yeah, eye to
eye. So he asked how many spots are left for the 2014 class and who are the top targets, which is a tough question. There's three spots left open for 2014. And I don't know who the top targets are. There's only really been three names that Jordan has been recruiting before the season ended. One is also a St. John's target in Adonis De La Rosa, who's a big man from Christ the King.
6'11", 260 pounds, very wide, needs some work.
Gonna say, seems to be a project, yeah. Then there's Jamal Gregory, Washington, D.C., 6'3", guard, supposed to be just uber athletic. I saw him classified as high major athleticism, but mid-major basketball skills. So we'll see there. Maybe Jordan thinks he could develop him. UNLV is also after Gregory pretty hard.
I don't know if you've heard, but there's definitely some tumult around UNLV.
Yes, they're with Dave Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard about that. So who knows what's going there? Dave Rice just signed a big extension after.
Oh, he did sign the extension. Okay.
Yeah. He was threatening to leave for USF, and then he got extended last night.
Man, everybody should threaten to leave for USF. I hate this job so much. I will go to South Florida. You hear me? Yeah, I'm talking to them right now. I'm on the phone with South Florida. Ooh, it's warm here. I'm giant. Yo, I can make this work. Oh, you got an extension for me? All right, then. Good. Stay. I told you. I would go to South Florida. That's how I feel. So pay me.
So Gregory seems like the prototypical UNLV player, can run the floor. He doesn't need to shoot or do anything else except make a couple layups and a fast break. There's like a video out there of him dunking over three guys, that sort of thing. So I don't know if Jordan can land him. And the third guy, he's not available anymore, but he was a Point Pleasant Beach point guard, Matt Farrell, like a 6-foot kid who, is one of those kids who all of a sudden they're seniors.
I thought he was a little taller. Okay.
Yeah, it might have been 6'1". I don't know.
He's probably 6 foot. AKA 5'11", yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Pass first point guard who could hit the three, was being recruited by all mid-major, Monmouth, Fordham. And it was basically like Eddie Jordan walked in and watched him, and Mike Bray heard about that and came and offered him.
So he went Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, so he committed to Notre Dame. So right now, there aren't a lot of names out there. I'm sure Rutgers is going to look at some 50-year seniors, some transfers, JUCOs, all sorts of things. But no specific names. I'm guessing this week and next week you'll start to see those names kind of leak out a little bit. But I'm interested to see what Jordan's going to do. I don't know what the plan is. because he's really after, you know, Isaiah Briscoe is a 2015 top point guard. He's also after Trey Lowe, who's a 6'5 shooting guard who, like, leads the state in scoring, like, averages, like, 28 a game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what Jordan kind of has a plan for. I don't know if he's going to save a scholarship or two. I don't know. So right now we're kind of in limbo. He kind of cleared the deck. It doesn't look like anyone else is going to transfer. There were rumors that there might have been a fourth, but it looks like they're going to stay, according to the news articles I read.
Okay, I wonder who that fourth was going to be. Da, da, da. But no, I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah, we could speculate, but...
Yeah, no, I don't want to get into the rumor.
I don't actually have even an answer or food to speculate with. So that's where they are. Yeah. 10 players going to be on the roster confirmed next year, and we'll see. I think the big blow is Greg Whittington not working out academically.
So he's just gone? He's just not going to be part of the plans, or what?
I guess there were rumors when he didn't make it in academically that he was thinking about trying to, get in the fall, kind of do some classwork and that sort of thing. But I haven't heard anything about that since. So I don't know if he would or if Jordan and Whittington have kind of parted ways. Whittington is probably a David Cox guy because Cox was down Georgetown when Whittington was recruited. So my guess would be probably unlikely, but that's just speculation.
Okay.
Which I'm really good at. I'm really good at speculating. Mm-hmm. So.
This is not half bad, and we like to speculate.
So that's where we are with Rutgers. Jordan's really trying to put his stamp on the program, and I think he's almost following like a Larry Brown lead. Like, all right, I played a year with these guys, kind of scrambled to put a team together. Now I'm going to kick them off the team and see if I can bring my own guys in and make this a little quicker.
All right. I mean, that's pretty normal, I think, for high major coaches. It's, you know, you got to, you know, put things in the spin cycle, see how they react, you know.
It happens. I mean, I know a lot of – I've been kind of trolling the message boards, and then there are some people who are kind of grumbling a little bit at not showing loyalty to kids you recruited. But you're just going to – if you want a win, you're slowing the – I mean, if you're just talking pure program basketball wanting to win – not pushing these guys off is going to kind of slow the process another extra year anyway. So
yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's there's always that, you know, that discomfort with the whole, you know, where the student and the athlete part don't quite mix. You know, if you've come to a school and we're promoting the idea of student athletes and then you're pushing guys out, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan and Campbell were the two guys who rode the bench a ton, and it was clear. I mean, not Jordan, Seegers and Campbell. You know, kind of rode the bench a ton, and just
Seegers rode the bench so much he's suing.
Yeah, he's suing Mike Rice, and then once he started to sue Mike Rice, it coincided, I guess, with Jerome Seegers riding the bench, and so now he's suing Eddie Jordan for playing time. Thoughts, okay. Norman? Thoughts on that?
I can't speak to lawsuits. I'm not a lawyer like everybody else on Twitter, so
what
am I going to say?
Exactly. So
that's just interesting. Well, I mean, we can circle back to this about like the general tumult, and after we talk about St. John's off season and their
sorry, I'm babbling. There's
their
a lot
recruiting efforts. No. there's certainly a lot to talk about. I mean, part of the reason I didn't jump in with St. John's is because I don't even know what to say about what's going on, and it's a weird feel around the program, because it's not that there's necessarily like, oh, there's nobody coming back. It's not like, you know, 2011, 2012, or like, you know, looking ahead to the year after Norm Roberts recruits go, but it's just a very strange place. Officially, only two players are leaving, are leaving early, being Max Hooper, who's transferring out, the 3-point shooter.
Hooper!
Who knew the aptly named Hooper, who could hit about 40% from the three, and transferred in from Harvard, where he got no time, got some time at St. John's, about 400 minutes, in fact. He sat out a year. Yeah. And he's transferring somewhere else to get more playing time, possibly out west, closer to home in California. You know, good for him. And I think, you know, maybe one of the appeals of coming to St. John's is that Jakar Sampson was coming too. So, because they're, you know, good friends, mm-hmm. but you know, it is what it is. I can't believe I said that. That's so cliche. Jakar Sampson though is also
Death, taxes and Norman cliches.
I just did that, man. I'm gonna. Where's my little notebook? I'm gonna. You know, I'm gonna put it in. It's like my swear jar here. You know, death, taxes, and cliches. Yes.
Oh boy. Ooh.
Oh, I like that actually. Death, taxes, and cliches. It's a. Anyway, but back to the issue at hand. So Max Hooper is transferring, but and that happened after Jakar Sampson declared for the NBA draft. And yes, I know people, you know, feel that he's declaring too early. And they feel that it's a big mistake and such, and it does harm the team badly. On the team side, St. John's returned 2-ish forwards in Chris Obekpa and Christian Jones, who sat out this year to work on his skills or whatever. And Jakar Sampson would be the third in that rotation. It'd be a small lineup generally, and there would definitely be times where they'd go kind of four guards. But, you know, losing Jakar Sampson really changes the tenor of that lineup. You lose a shot blocker, you lose a pretty capable or fairly capable rebounder and a guy who people think can be a dynamic scorer. Granted, I don't think he's topped more than 21 or 24 points, Jakar Sampson, but, you know, people still feel like he has that potential. And, you know, I'll say that it's, and I'm going to write about this early this week. There's, you know, we might not think that it's a great decision, but, you know, this is a kid chasing his dream. And there's not really a reason to think that if a guy doesn't want to be in college, that he doesn't want to make changes, that he's going to become a wildly better person and improve his draft stock, improve his future. You know, if this is the best he's going to get, then he might as well start getting out into the workplace, right?
If he's got a shot now and he thinks he's going to get...
Oh, he doesn't have a shot. I mean, I'm not even going to, like, you know, sugarcoat it.
Okay.
He would need to be the most amazing workout player ever to have a real shot at the first round, which is guaranteed money. He might have a shot at the second round if he's also really good and impresses people. But if he shows the kind of motor that he sometimes showed at St. John's, if he, you know, struggles with adversity, doesn't find ways of, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because workouts are, you know, they're one-on-one or they're, you know, three-on-three workouts, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to see what a player would do when faced with certain kinds of situations. One of the problems with Jakar Sampson is that on film, one of the things that you'll easily see is that when faced with a zone or faced with a defender playing off of him, he'll just take the jump shot. That's fine, but he's a 6'8", 6'9" athlete. He could use a little more handle, true, and he might lose the ball if he tried this more, but you'd kind of like to see that athlete actually use his advantage, which is his athleticism.
Right.
You know, he's not out there to be, I don't know, Matt Carroll or I don't know, you know, or Ray Allen or whatever. You know, he's out there because he is an athlete, and the other things that he does are supplemental, and they're good. They expand his game, but he doesn't use his first real appeal. He also doesn't shoot threes. So, you know, anyway. So all of that is to say that as an actual prospect, I don't hold high hopes for Jakar Sampson being the next first round pick from St. John's.
I think that's when fans of a college team do kind of get bugged, is when they have a player that leaves and they have that feeling like this kid might not even be a second round pick.
Yeah.
That's when it's bugged. I mean, Quincy Doobie, when he went, sure, I would have loved for him to stay, but he was a low first round pick. You know what I mean? You had that opportunity, take it.
Yeah.
But when it's, you're not even 100% sure you're going to get drafted in the second round.
I mean, on Chad Ford's list, I think he's like in the hundreds.
Yeah, and how many...
I mean, on Draft Express, he's like, you know, I don't know, maybe like 70s, 80s or something like that. I mean, it's just like he's a guy who it would take a real yeoman's effort for him to get into the draft area. And you know what, though? There's a lot of places to play. There's the D League, there's Europe. And I think that for a lot of guys, maybe there's just not a lot of progress to be made in college. We like to think of college as this edifying, amazing experience, and it is for some of us.
Yeah.
It's a great networking ability for a lot of us, but in the world of basketball, if it's not working for you, it's not working. If you feel you're on a team that where your development is stagnating, or you feel like you're not listening to the coaches, or you feel like the goals of the team and the coaches and your goals are different, then mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to go. I mean, I think that the things that I would think that Samson needs to do that the real holes in his game that not just myself, this isn't, just personal, but the things that that other draft picks and scouts have even said to me, that the holes in his game are just they're very large. He needs strength. He needs a little more diversity in his shot selection. He needs to get to the hole, and he needs to have a repeatable shot. And I don't know that he has that now.
Yeah, and
he'll learn.
He'll learn. He'll end up in Europe or in some D league somewhere.
And again, it hurts the team. And I think that's one of the places where St. John's fans feel like, the train is off the rails, like the train that got off the rails at O'Hare. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that was scary. I saw the video.
Yeah, that was crazy. That thing went straight up the escalator.
Yeah, that looked like something out of Skyfall.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm still going to take the train to the airport, but I'm a little like, oh, I'm not going to do it late at night. No, I probably will. And I'll just, hope for the best. I'll wear crash pads. So around St. John's, though, I think this, kind of brings up a lot of strife partly because of the way that the team ended the year, and because there's this sense of just dissatisfaction among the fans and, maybe among some of the boosters about how things are going. And I think mm-hmm. that a lot of that is, some of that is just because the year ended badly and guys are leaving. But some of it's also because for a team that knew that it had two forwards and one wing graduating, you would think that they'd have a better plan than, we're just going to bring in this one guy, Adonis De La Rosa, hopefully, who isn't signed yet.
And he's looking at Pittsburgh. He took a visit to Pittsburgh this weekend.
I mean,
and Jordan's after him pretty hard, so who knows?
If this was a guy that they thought that they really wanted and needed, and you knew you had three spots anyway, I don't really understand why, if he was really that in the bag, why wouldn't you have him sign early? Or at least verbal early. And so, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, they can close the deal on him, but mm-hmm. it's a little worrisome that it's taking this long to close the deal on a guy who's not a top 100, not a top 150 recruit at center.
Mm-hmm.
And he's local, mm-hmm. it's gotta, that's a little worrisome. And I think fans are right to be worried. These are flaws and issues that they knew going in, but the word is that the staff has, that they haven't, some of the staff hasn't necessarily been out there or hasn't been recruiting as hard as, they need to be. Apparently this is just the word. I don't know. I'm not following them around.
Let me stop you for a second. So let's set the scene before we talk about this, because I kind of see where you're going. So as of this exact moment, 10:48 on Sunday, March 30th, how many scholarship players are left on St. John's?
Eight.
So you have five open scholarships.
Mm-hmm. Five open scholarships. Some rumors about a couple of other guys who, might be a little on the fence about coming back.
Right. So five open scholarships. You have zero commitments
mm-hmm.
officially. And De La Rosa is the only guy you're really chasing?
Yeah.
So there's no other rumors of any other names out there?
Not strong rumors. I mean, certainly people have bandied names about of guys who are available on the message boards.
Right.
But there's no, there's no obvious leak to, a major New York area writer, for example.
So there's
no evidence that a coach has been tailing another 2014 guy.
Right.
You've heard about St. John's going to Briscoe's game.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at Chick Diallo.
Mm-hmm. So those are the only – they end up at Roselle Catholic and wherever the heck.
Our favorite new American out on Long Island.
Wow, that was quick. Well, you answered that one. I barely got through that sentence.
It's where Balamu and Obekpa went, and a lot of other recruits who come in from Africa and have a couple of years of American experience.
So this is a tough question to ask because I don't know how much you want to say or how much you want to speculate, even though we are on the banks. I mean, not half bad, where speculation is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you looking at for next year? What are you thinking as
me? As somebody observing the program?
Yeah.
In terms of measures of success or in terms of who's going to be on the roster?
Are they going to fill these – gut feeling, are they going to fill these holes?
There's a lot of interesting chatter going on out there, and I don't know. I think Steve Lavin has been amazing at pulling rabbits out of the hat. Mm-hmm. I will say that – or I will go on the record as saying that I don't know that the way – people think that the recruiting classes have been so great – and I think they've been good, but I think that there's been a lot of positive publicity, but I don't know that any of these guys have been, slam dunk groups, You have
except
a group
around the fast break.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Sorry.
That was terrible. But you have the group with Marc-Antoine Bourgault who barely played because Lavin didn't like his defense. And there's a whole, there's just some questions about how do you bring in a guy that you knew would be a specialist and didn't seem to understand whether he could play D or not on this level. It kind of feels like a throw-in almost then, If mm-hmm. you have a guy who you almost auditioned for a few games and then he is just sort of, riding the pine. And, that happens, but you like to see it not happen all the time, because that happened with a bit with Max Hooper too, mm-hmm. where he couldn't get into a lot of games. You have Christian Jones who didn't get into a lot of games and then is redshirting this year. Yeah. It's weird. It's not that these are guys who can't develop. They can certainly develop, but it just feels like, I don't know, these are guys that you were sold as being like, real impact players. They weren't necessarily. Mm-hmm. And that's on St. John's to develop. So back to this year, I do think that they can find guys to fill the holes, but I do also think that if you haven't been on the top guys who are available, there's not a lot left, and there's always that inflation that happens at the end of a basketball season where guys who are Rider-level players get, Baylor-level offers.
Right, right, right. I see here, looking at Lavin, I don't understand his plan. His plan seemed to be, when he got hired, was I'm going to make a splash and bring in a top five recruiting class, whether or not these kids made a basketball team or created balance,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine because he got a whole lot of buzz, but it's clearly not really paying off on the court.
On the court, yeah.
And now, from what you're saying, it seems like they're not really trying to fill those holes. And the only comparison I can make is – I had a feel when he was there with Mike Rice's recruiting strategy, and that was I'm going to try to land this big class, which he did, and fill every scholarship, and I'm going to recruit like there's always going to be transfers.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like that's what Lavin was doing. He was trying, it seems like, maybe getting by on this top class and then seeing if he could go bigger. I mean, he landed Jordan. That was fantastic, Rashid Jordan, and yeah. I think he fits a nice piece. But now it doesn't look like he's going to try and fit these losses. He needs a wing now. He needs another big man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. I don't have a vibe for what Lavin's doing.
No, I don't think that's part of the problem too. That for a guy who's been so good at PR and so good at sort of selling a story and setting a stage, there's just not really a sense of what's going on here, Lavin has said that he likes the team that they have. They can play Villanova style, which is, begs a few questions of, well, why didn't you play some of that style until late in the year? The whole, the pressure and multi-guard lineup. And then also but you still need bodies part.
Yeah, a team that has 8 scholarship players, even 9, is going to get worn down.
Yeah. And you know, 9 players who haven't broken through to the NCAA yet, that, you know, seems to be worrisome. I will say that I don't know that, you know, the loss of Jakarr Sampson and Chris Obekpa are the make or break, you know, points of...
Obekpa. Obekpa's still on the team, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Of making it to the NCAA tournament. But they certainly help, and it's good to have, you know, guys who can step in when, Obekpa has foul trouble. Obekpa's not, like, you know, the greatest rebounder yet. He can be better, and he certainly can emerge.
Yeah.
But you need help. You can't just have one big man out there. And you know, maybe you can. Maybe there's a magic there's a magic that's happening, but it's hard to say. But you're right. You know, there's just a real question about what's going on out there. And the guys who are out there, you're going to get some JUCOs. You're going to get an up transfer who, you know, there are very few guys. Anthony Lee, you know, is one of them. Mm-hmm. And he's already committed to Ohio State. There are very few guys who are really impact 1-year transfers.
Looks like Kevin Ware is going to be out there, but he wants to go closer to Georgia.
Yeah. And Kevin Ware is a Southern boy. And, you know, I don't know how good he is after the injury, you know?
Right.
You've got, because he came back really early too.
Yeah.
You've got, what's that dude, Sean Obi, who is out of Rice. And I looked at his numbers, and he looks amazing.
Yeah, but he's going to have to sit a year.
That's fine. I mean, not that it's fine, but that's good for a team that, you know, might be looking for 2015 to have, you know, a few more impact players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's a championship strategy, but there's not, you know, one wonders where the NCAA level strategy is here.
Right. That's step one. Team. I mean, that's where you want to get. Step one. You don't need to worry about getting in the Final Four yet.
Sure.
You just want to get in.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think Lavin's been doing a great job of recruiting the 2015 guys, but you still, I think it's hard to bring guys in if the team isn't good next year too. You know, those are guys who might decommit if you can't get them to sign early in the year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's just like a lot of, I don't know, man. There's De La Rosa. There's, I don't know. And there's always a number of New York guys who are playing in JUCO who are trying to find a spot to play in. So
there's a kid out there who they just wrote an article about him. I didn't even know. Apparently, he had silently committed to Rutgers under Rice. This Leroy Flood.
Oh yeah, Flood. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's apparently out there looking for a spot. He's a wing.
Right. But he's a strong body. His nickname is Truck, after all.
Right. So I don't know if St. John's would be looking at. Now I'm speculating like the message boards are. So
yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Truck Flood would certainly be an interesting piece to play. He's he has that sort of like old school, but that kind of what we always assumed at St. John's would be a St. John's forward. You know, he's like 6 foot, what, 5 or 6 or whatever.
He's
just like he's a big body. He works hard, and you're like, you know, you're not that talented, son, but we love your pluck.
That blue collar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We're kind of in a weird flux situation. I think both teams. One is weird in terms of Lavin because he's been there so long. And then there's Eddie Jordan, who's really trying to put his stamp on the program. I think a little quicker than even I wrote an article, couple months ago, that I could see something like this taking 5 to 7 years, just trying to fix the image and stuff. And I think Jordan, by moving these kids out, is trying to get it to move a little quicker.
Yeah.
Because they're going into the Big Ten, and there's a chance that a good chance they could get annihilated. So
every single game.
Well, did you see the Izzo quote?
What was the Izzo quote?
All right, let me see if I can find it. This is crazy. So I guess Izzo, you know, was surrounded by a bunch of Jersey and New York writers at the Garden yesterday at Media Day. And let's see if you pick up on what I picked up on. They asked him about Rutgers coming into the Big Ten, and here's the exact quote. What they better bring is, I think we have a phenomenal group of coaches in our league right now, the Michigan State coach said. I think it's pretty cheating free. I think that's important. So they better bring that to the table.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like that's like a shot across the bow for a team that hasn't been to the NCAA tournament in 23 years.
So he's saying that Rutgers has been cheating.
It seems like it. Like, why else would he say that?
Under Mike Rice?
Maybe, but even if Rutgers was a cheating team, they sucked at cheating.
Yeah. Whew. Damn, that is rough.
Yeah, it's
Tom,
you know,
Izzo, look at you.
It's very odd. I mean, and then he talked a little bit about, you know, going on the road, and in the Big Ten you play in a lot of pro arenas, but I mean in the Big East you played in a lot of pro arenas, but in the Big Ten it's on campus and it's full every night and that sort of thing. So, but that is a very odd quote. It kind of struck me as really out of left field.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, they asked Beilein as well, and Beilein said, you know, Rutgers will give Eddie Jordan time like Michigan gave me time. Like, he was very, you know, non-controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't really been much else about the basketball team, but then Izzo kind of drops this bomb. I don't know if it was a bomb. I think it was almost a warning shot, but there was no context to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the quote in several different articles, and no real context to – he just kind of like slipped that in.
Maybe he's just worried about the New York area. I don't think he recruits a lot of New York guys.
No,
and maybe
that's
part of it too, that he thinks that New York area recruiting mm-hmm. is a little corrupted. And you know, you hear things, you see things, there are things.
Yeah,
it's unjustified, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, and Izzo builds a program. I don't love Michigan State. But Izzo, I like the way he builds a program. He brings in a bunch of kind of, you know, really solid guys, and then he lands that one top recruit that kind of puts him over the top every couple of years.
He always has a number of top 100 guys on the roster. He's got a really good team.
Yeah, but I shouldn't say that. He's not landing, you know, he's not Krzyzewski or Calipari landing the McDonald's All-Americans every year. He just lands a couple of top 100 guys, a couple of top 150 guys. They all know their role. And then he lands, you know, like, I can't think of one off the top
of my
head.
Payne or,
a big time recruit that kind of is like, all right, he's going to, you know, be our go-to or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I think Eddie's trying to do. If you look at the kids he's recruited, he's clearly trying to land Briscoe for 2015 and have Briscoe be that, you know, over the top kid.
Yeah.
But everybody else is a top 150 or lower, just kind of a piece, you know, a power forward, a shooter, a scorer.
But that's helpful. You need guys who develop and just play their roles. They stay in their lanes. You know, they develop a little bit.
One of them gets to
be good, you know. Like Iowa State's kind of getting into that. Like now that they're cycling through the transfers, they have guys that you're like, who is that guy? They've got a JUCO from New York who, you know, just kind of stayed in his lane but emerged in the guard. And he dropped like 24 or something like that. Some high. Maybe almost more than that.
Yeah.
Along with Ejim, who's like a big time recruit, and who's the other guy? Niang, who they recruited. Oh, and DeAndre Kane, who was a transfer. You know, just like interesting ways of putting together a roster. You know, you have some guys who are, well, I know you can play, but you're not like super, you know, big time, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So, what are we going to have to talk about in the next couple of weeks? I'm sure. Listeners, I'm pretty sure that now that the off-season's setting in, we probably won't be weekly.
No.
But we'll probably be like last season. You know, something happens, we'll hop on.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably do some short podcasts too. You know, we'll keep it to like, you know, 15 minutes or so. Like, you know, state of the program this 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll just talk about the beers that we're drinking.
Right. Oh, I had a good one.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. We'll discuss. we'll talk about it on the app.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's always a little bit of something happening around, and if we get bored, we can talk about Rutgers and St. John's baseball.
Is that a no? I'm gonna have to do research to talk Rutgers and St. John's baseball. I know we have a new coach, Fred Hill, retired.
Yeah,
older Fred Hill.
Oh well, there's lacrosse though. I mean,
lacrosse, we're pretty decent at that.
Yeah, yeah, and Rutgers and St. John's are actually in the same conference in the Big East.
Yeah, for now.
Lacrosse. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But Rutgers is only 1-2 in the conference, and St. John's is 2-0.
Well, there you go.
Oh, you little people.
So what are we thinking going forward, though? Any prognostication for this off season for St. John's? Anything
I don't know, just a lot of drama. Later on in the summer, we'll hear guys saying that, you know, they're refocused. They want to wipe the taste of last season off and, you know, get to the NCAAs and go deep in the tournament. And, you know, for some of those guys, it'll be true. For some of those guys, hopefully they get on board and hoping that they, you know, are all moving in the same direction. Because one got the feeling that at times this year, guys weren't all working in the same direction.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're going to hear from Rutgers too. New, fresh blood, new outlook. Kind of everybody kind of pulling the same way. They'll probably talk a lot about how much better chemistry they have or something along those lines. And we'll see. We'll see.
He never says, "Yeah, we've got worse chemistry than we had last year." But I'm planning on yelling at these guys enough until they fall in the line.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of refreshing, I suppose. You know?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I guess that's the coded language of we have a young team, or you know. I don't know. I mean, like, that's something you'd like to hear out of Seton Hall, actually. I think their off-season comments will be very interesting.
I agree.
They have two things going on. One, that there obviously were some locker room issues that might be alleviated with a few guys graduating. But then, you know, there's some guys on the roster who seem to be part of those issues. And there are, you know, there's a whole bunch of guys coming in who, you know, are going to feel like, you know, they're there to win, or they're there to change things, or that, you know, maybe they're better than the guys who previously were on the roster. So,
yeah, I'm interested to see what Seton Hall does this year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, let's shut the shot down and go have ourselves a nice whatever one does when there's no basketball on.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to this afternoon's game, so should be fun.
That's good. When does the first game start?
2:00.
Oh yeah, that's
perfect time.
Stuff.
Right in the wheelhouse.
Right in the wheelhouse. Getting you right there.
So this has been the March 30th edition of Not Half Bad, and I am Dave of OnTheBanks.com, the Rutgers blog. Check us out. We got a bunch of new writers, a lot of exciting stuff. And you can find me on Twitter at Dave_White. And my co-host, who's clearing his throat, is Norman Rose of Rumble in the Garden.
But you can find me at Rumble in the Garden and at Rumble SBN on Twitter or Ecoast Bias on Twitter. We'll probably be looking into getting some new writers, but we definitely have our strong stable already. But you know, if you're interested in writing, reach out. And you know that you can reach us at Not Half Bad at the email nothalfbadpod@gmail.com or on Twitter at @NHBpod.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Or a couple weeks, probably.
Yeah, probably a couple of weeks.